Welcome back to the show. I am your fantastic host, Evan Herman, and today we're going to be talking about what it means to enter God's rest. That's right. Oftentimes in life, there's a lot of chaos and busyness, but sometimes we just need to unplug, unwind, and rest in God's presence. So what does that mean? So today, I have my friend, Cello Lozano. Cello, how are you today?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Good. So right off the bat, you're never overworked, are you? You just have the perfect life balance that we all could dream for, right?
Yep, that's me. Just man of faith of power in the hour. That's it.
So I think all of us can attribute times in our life where we feel burnt, overworked, or even in not doing a lot, still feel like we're not at rest. And rest doesn't mean that we actually have time to rest, but rest is also a spiritual state. So, Cello, how does someone enter God's rest?
That's a loaded question. I think it's easier to, I feel like it's easier to give examples more than a teaching, you know, like this is what
for
you,
sure. Give us an example.
ABC type thing, going from that perspective. But I think it's really a state of mind. It's a state of heart. When you're talking about resting in the presence of God, you know, we attribute ministry to work. I'm gonna go off of ministry for a second from that perspective. So coming up through the church, so I've been in ministry for 28 years now, full time. And one of the things that my spiritual father and mentors and folks that have always said in ministry is, you spell ministry W-O-R-K, not R-E-S-T.
That's
funny. So, but when we think about work, when you look at the scriptures, Jesus says his yoke and burden is light and easy to bear. What I've found is that we do work. We find ourselves a lot of times like Martha, working and never just sitting and resting in the presence of God and just, okay, just relaxing and enjoying life. I think resting in God, resting in Christ has to be, we have to look at it from the perspective of abundant life. Meaning it says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, not more work and work abundantly, but life. And when you enjoy life, I was talking to a friend, matter of fact, yesterday, and he says, you know, most people, they think that we live to work, you know, that's the whole purpose, is to live and work and make checks and pay bills, you know, in ministry. But really we should be working in order for us to live life, not the other way around. And a lot of times what we do is we get so busy working, doing ministry, that we don't ever enjoy the life that God's given us. We don't enjoy the life that we have in Christ. So when I think about rest, I'll say that when I think about rest, I think about enjoying life. I think about enjoying my grandkids. I think about having breakfast with my children. They're all grown adult children. So having breakfast or lunch or dinner with my children, I think I attribute resting in what God has given me from that perspective.
So
not just laying in the presence of the Lord, getting some carpet time. I think that's a part of it. You know, but I also think and enjoying the things that God has given us, the fruit of our labor, you know.
So rest is a state of mind, not just an action. When rest is an action, it actually negates its original intention, which is to remain in a state of peace. So with this process, you talked earlier about Jesus's yoke. And what a lot of people don't know is that Jesus's yoke, when he was telling the disciples, it was his teachings. The yoke is his teachings. And back in Jewish culture, men would go through tutelage, schooling, to see if they had what it takes to be a Pharisee, a priest of some sort. And by age 13, if they didn't have enough gumph or education or knowledge to be able to continue, they would have to go learn a trade. And many, many, many men were stopped at that point. And as an underling of a Pharisee was growing up, they got to pick and choose after they made this cut who they would follow. But this term would be used is that my yoke is too heavy. So the knowledge and information and the laws and everything that I have is too much for you. You can't handle this. You need to go get a job. You need to go get a profession. You cannot continue in this. So when Jesus is telling the disciples, my yoke is easy, he's saying my lessons, my teachings, my presence is easy. And it's not a weight that you have to bear. And so when we look at scripture and we look at the emphasis of this, God is saying, when you enter into me, when you enter into my truth, when you enter into my teaching, it is easy compared to all the different teachings and all the different gurus that we have out there.
Right.
When we draw our source of life and rest from scripture and Jesus, it becomes a state of mind.
Exactly. And that, so with that understanding in that, or should I say in that understanding, is the ability to enjoy the life that you've built, what you've accomplished in ministry, what you've accomplished with your family. You know, my brother, actually both of my brothers, I have two brothers, and both of my brothers, they always tell me I never work. They say, you don't work, you're a pastor, you don't work. But the truth of the matter is that my work just looks different than manual labor. It's not what the typical, get up in the morning and work 8 hours or 10 hours and then go home. But I think when you understand in resting in God, resting in Christ, it's understanding the taking the complexity of the scriptures and making them very, very simple, to be able to actually just live a life that glorifies God. And so when we look at that perspective from a professional perspective, sometimes we can get so focused on projects that we're working to glorify God, but we're not really glorifying God in the process because we're literally just laboring in vain, if you will. I've seen that a lot in ministry. So for myself, my early years of ministry, I would put in, 10, 12, 15 hours a day, and almost probably 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. I just had a life that was that way. But I never realized that I wasn't really resting in my relationship with God. I was working in ministry, but I was not enjoying the fruit of the labor of my labor. I was not enjoying the things that God had given me, and the resources and the relationships. And then when we started the church, when we started our church 7 years ago, I realized that my absence in my children's life was costing me more than I wanted to pay. And I was realizing that, I haven't been resting in what Christ has done for me, what Christ was doing in me. I was literally just working because I was trying to further the kingdom of God, if you will, and not realizing that the kingdom of God being within us means that we get to enjoy ourselves, our lives, enjoy the the family, the relationships that we, that really that God has given us. And resting really looks a lot like, I can't emphasize it enough. It just really means enjoying the things that God's given you. If you think of a tree and you plant that tree and you water it and you take care of it, and eventually that tree begins to produce fruit and shade. But if you never enjoy the shade because you're always collecting the fruit, then you're not really resting. But if you can enjoy the fruit when it's time to harvest the fruit, but then that period of time where there's no harvesting, that you actually just get to have a picnic under the shade, put a swing on the tree and play. And we don't do that in life. We don't really do that in ministry. We're always going after the next goal. We're always going after the next project, the next event, instead of just saying, man, we had a good run this last month, or we had a good run this last quarter, or we had a good run this year, man. Let's just take some time off. I find myself wrestling with that here in the last year and a half more. I have 11 grandchildren, and my wife this past weekend had the opportunity. So she took the majority of our grandchildren. So she had 10 of the nine. She had 9 of the 11 grandchildren, and they went to a relative's house to go swim. And hey, we're gonna go swimming, and everybody, all the grandkids were going to swimming. No parents. So it wasn't none of our children. It was just grandchildren and my wife. And she's, you want to go? And I was like, well, I'd like to go, but I really need to finish preparing my message for Sunday. This was this past Saturday. And she said, okay. So she took off, had the van with the kids and took off. And as I was in my office preparing,
hopefully it was a 15 passenger van.
Yeah, it was a good van. As I was sitting in my office, preparing for service on Sunday, it dawned on me that I was missing an opportunity to rest and enjoy my grandchildren. So I was working probably for about 20 minutes in my office, and studying, trying to get my message together for Sunday. And then I couldn't focus anymore because I was thinking about my grandchildren and swimming and my wife being over there. And it was just in the back of my head, my mind. And I thought, man, what am I doing? Like, I should go swimming with my grandkids, not preparing for Sunday service. And so I shut my laptop, shut my office down. I left and told my wife, I said, hey, I'll be there in a few minutes. And she's like, you coming? I'm like, yeah. And we got the grandkids having, we're excited to see me. We had a good time. We ended up staying there pretty much for the entire evening. And I really enjoyed that. For me, it's rest. It's resting in the things God has given me. Man, we've been blessed with 11 grandkids, and to have 9 of them there and having a good time without mom and dad's barking orders, and we could just be grandparents. I think as leaders, business owners, I think as church leaders, I think we struggle with just pushing pause and just enjoying the fruit of our labor, man, just enjoying the family. And I think on the flip side of that, Evan, I think in the church community, probably tip over some sacred cows here, I think in the church community, we associate resting with associate resting in Christ or resting in the Lord as carpet time every time that we do that, or spending time in prayer or spending time in worship. I'm not saying that that's not valuable and that's not necessary and that's not what that means. I'm saying that I feel like we lean further that way, and so I think it's detrimental to the church and church leaders when they lean to the side of spending time in prayer, worship, and Bible study and reading, and they negate their family, and they negate hanging out with their children. because, well, I'm just resting in the Lord. Well, I think I'd have to disagree and debate on that, because I think our first ministry is to our children and our family. And God wants us to enjoy them. He wants us to have spend time with them, you know.
There's a Bible verse, Mark 2:27, and this has been an issue since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve left the garden. In Mark 2:27, it says, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so many times, the idea of Sabbath was a law that man had to create or to keep to be more holy, when in reality, the Sabbath was actually for men to be able to rest and rejuvenate and Absolutely. To be in the presence of God, to be with their family. And what does that look like for you and I today? You said spending time with your family. For me, it's vegging in my house on a Sunday. And through that process, resting, maybe watching some baseball or whatever sport or golf that is on.
Right.
I really enjoy sports. But I think it's time that we bring back Sabbath.
Absolutely. I think it's time Paul talks about
that.
Yeah.
That we pick a day and dedicate it as rest.
Yeah. And Paul speaks that. I mean, Corinthians, he makes the statement that the Sabbath isn't necessarily on Sunday. The Sabbath is the day that we set aside to rest and to rejuvenate and to set that day of time or that day aside for a time of relaxation. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be on Sunday. And I think we in the church, I feel like we really over spiritualize practical things within the scriptures. Your day off has to be on Sunday, or, you know, because for us in ministry, Sunday's not a day off for us. Sunday is a work day for us. Whether we like to admit it or not, because when you're getting up early, you're getting things together for the church, message, everything that goes on in church and ministry. So you got the whole day, and if you're an active pastor, you're probably putting a good 6 to 8 hours in on a Sunday. It's depending on what you have. If you're doing other things, maybe longer. And that's not necessarily rest. And then on the flip side of that, I think as pastors and leaders, we don't honor and respect the boundaries of our congregation, our leaders. So what we do is we plan activities on the days that they're off. You know, so like, we're going to do this on Saturday or we're going to do this on Sunday. And then we get upset because they've decided to go on a family picnic instead of attend our class or our meeting or whatever we have. I think there should be some a little thought process in how we look at that as leaders, because I feel like for myself, resting for me is, I'm kind of the same way. I watch movies, you know, so I watch all kinds of movies. So for me, I can sit, for me, a relaxing day for me is maybe a bowl of cereal and some movies on Netflix, Hulu, or Vudu, right? Like, I'm just watching some movies, maybe one or two movies. That's relaxation. Relaxation for me is working on the yard. I may be sweating, but it's taking my mind off of the business as usual, taking my my thought processes off of that. And I find myself really having good conversations with the Lord and hearing from God anytime I'm working on the yard or working on projects. That's relaxing for me. Like, you know, I might be sweating, you know, and working, but it's relaxing in the sense of I'm not doing, this sounds so bad, but I'm not doing the Lord's work in the sense of doing ministry. You know, I'm cutting the grass or trimming limbs or, you know, whatever that looks like. But I think that you're right. I don't think that we in the church body, I don't think that we understand what it means to actually rest and relax. And I think sometimes we feel guilty for relaxing.
Could be. You know. As we're saying, resting is a state of mind. One of my favorite inspirational leaders is Winston Churchill. He was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. That dude was under a lot of stress and pressure, and he was extremely unhealthy. The guy had a heart attack while he was Prime Minister. But you want to know something very interesting? His doctor never told him he had a heart attack. He didn't until after the war was over. And then he told him. And the reason why is because he didn't want to add the weight of his heart attack and the potential of more heart attacks or death on his mind to weigh it down. And so he just, oh, you're fine. You'll be good. You know, stop drinking your scotch every day. Stop smoking your cigars, which he wouldn't do. But what in our lives weighs us down mentally? How can we learn to put those things aside and save our mental energy from having to think about those things over and over again? Someone asked me this question once. Evan, would you rather know when you would die or how you would die? And I said, I would rather know when than how. Because if I knew how, then I'd be worrying the entire time of when is it? And the reason why I say that is because there's this place in life where we weigh our minds down with things that we shouldn't even have to think about. And so in this process, why do we weigh ourselves down with trying to know things or carry things that we shouldn't? And so I would highly encourage each and every single one of you who's listening today to do an audit of your mental space. What thoughts are no longer serving you, but only weighing you down? And learn how to audit those out of your life. And in this process, you'll start seeing more peace, more freedom, more relaxation. And then another thing is sometimes we get weighed down by small tasks because we have too many small tasks. And a friend of mine, he wrote the best-selling book, Get Things Done. His name is David Allen. And something that he talked about is in his book is, if it takes you less than 2 minutes, then just do it right away. Because then that's one less thing on your mind that takes energy and focus and clarity away from you being able to show up and be present. So what needs to be done now, get done. But what you can take off and that doesn't serve you anymore, let go.
Yeah, absolutely. I always encourage people to, you know, talk about our mind being weighed down and thinking. I think it's weighed down with things because we stop dreaming. We stop hoping. Let me rephrase that. We don't use our imagination for lighter things. Most of the time when we have issues or problems or trying to solve tasks, our imagination's running 100 miles an hour. What if this happens? What if that happens? And so we're solving problems mentally that don't even exist.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that I make it a habit of at least 3 or 4 times a week is I have a chair in my bedroom. I have a chair in my office, and I call them the thinking chair. I don't know if you remember Blue's Clues. So like he would say that they would get all the clues and they would say, well, what are we gonna do? We're gonna go sit in our thinking chair.
Yep.
Right. And one of the things I try to do and I encourage folks to do is sometimes you just need to sit and think, sit and dream and not think about the tasks, not think about the weightiness of decisions, but just think past that. You know, we had a situation that arose a couple of weeks ago within our church. And after hearing all the information and digesting and processing mentally and emotionally, my wife and I were eating dinner later that afternoon. And she says, how you feeling? I was like, I'm doing pretty good. She says, what are you thinking about? I said, I'm actually thinking about this. And it was completely opposite things about, as far as really just more future things, things that are coming up, things that I would like to see happen in the next 6 to 12 months. And she just looks at me, she says, "You just like don't let nothing bother you." And I'm like, "Well, I can't change anything. I can't, I don't want to invest any more time, money, emotions, energy into this situation because I can't change anything. I just have to accept it and roll on. But I don't want that to cloud my dreams. I don't want it to cloud my excitement and my imagination." And I think a lot of times that's what we do. And because we're mentally weighed down, like you mentioned, we're mentally, emotionally weighed down, that it gets heavy, you know, it gets heavy. And yeah. So we're not resting. We're literally just carrying it around with us, even though we got a smile on our face and we're doing whatever, but we're mentally thinking, mentally and emotionally processing that information. And so I always tell folks, man, just sit down and just clear your mind, and just begin to think and dream about some things. You know, one of my goals that I had several years ago, it's been about five years ago, was I wanted to make sure, as my grandchildren were getting older, I was like, I want to make sure that I have time for them whenever they call. You know, if they're like, "Hey, you want to go do this," or "I want to do something," or "I want to be able to make time to be able to just randomly do things with my grandchildren, and not have to have scheduled weekends, or, you know, wait till this birthday or that holiday, but just like randomly do stuff with my grandchildren. But I had to make a mental shift there. Like, I had to think about, well, what do I want to do with them? What would I like to do with them? What would I want to take them to? Like, what does that look like if I could just grab them on a Saturday, or take them out of school? For me, my children always loved the surprise that I would just, when my children were younger, I would just go and snag them out of school in the middle of the day, take them out early. And it wasn't for a doctor's appointment. It might be go to see a movie, go play putt-putt, go do walk the mall, do something. But it was never just like always for a doctor's appointment. And my grandchildren are now at the age where I get to start thinking about that and planning that. So instead of clouding my mind of all the church decisions and ministry decisions, I'm more thinking, what would Kaylee like to do? Man, what does Zeke want to do? You know, so my thought process are wrapped more around my grandchildren and enjoying them and spending time with them and finding ways. That's the part that I want to emphasize, is the creative time of finding opportunities to spend time with my grandchildren. Because the only thing that they'll ever be able to hold with them more than anything are the memories that we build, the relationship we build. And I think we get so focused in doing business as usual and working and grinding all the time that we don't even enjoy the people that are most important to us, the people that we love. So for me, that's resting to me.
Yeah.
You know, like going to the swimming pool with my grandkids, you know, just being there and enjoying their presence, you know, and letting them enjoy my presence and my wife's presence. And I think we can spend time with God, and we have that time that intimate time that we spend with God, and doing carpet time and just being in the presence of God. I think it's just as important for us to have that time as it is for our family members and those people that we have relationships with, to enjoy that same thing with us. Mm. I just really feel like we have gotten to a place in society, we've gotten to a place in church, that's no longer important. It hasn't been for some time.
Man, such a deep well of knowledge and information. Thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us today and the wisdom and knowledge that you've shared with us through your life experience, and how true rest is a state of mind and a state of happiness. Absolutely. And being, even if you're doing something physical. I love what you were sharing. If you're listening to this today and you're wanting to have more rest and peace in your life, can I just pray over you? God, I just lift up my friend to you who's listening to this. Help them break free from the things that take up mental space and energy in their lives. Help them to have more peace of heart and peace of mind. and to learn to live a lifestyle of freedom and rest.
Absolutely.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks so much for coming on to the show today. I hope you have a great day, okay?
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care.